That's why I made the comment that you finished Luke. Matthew 5. We're studying the Beatitudes still.
First we got to finish Matthew 5 before we go into Luke.
I know, but it'd be real quick then. The Beatitudes in Luke will be very quick. Yesterday, the last time we met, we studied 10. It's blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Everybody understand that? Remember, it's always the pursued that are the blessed ones, not the pursuers. What?
I actually couldn't hear you. This machine behind you is.
Which machine?
It's the sucker machine.
Probably.
Right? Air conditioner.
Sucker machine for the
I said, studied yesterday, blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And I said, the persecuted are the ones pursued, never the pursuers.
Are those martyrs?
Well, it could be. The martyrs are the ones that were killed.
They don't have to be a martyr to be persecuted.
No, you can just be persecuted.
Persecuted has a wide range.
It doesn't. I remember I told you that persecuted meant it's diako. Dioko, it means pursued after. Whether it's verbally or physically or any other way.
And then the issue is why you're being your own stupidity or your actual.
Well, this is for righteousness' sake.
This is for righteousness' sake.
Yeah.
All right. Verse 11. Blessed are you when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Again, revile is. It's onidazo, and it means to taunt or disgrace or defame. Now, again, it's a slippery slope to try to define whether or not you're being persecuted for righteousness' sake or whether or not you're doing it because you're stupid or done something that is really wrong. And so that's why it says, when men shall persecute and say all manner of evil against you falsely for my name's sake, for my sake. And evil is poneros, where we get the word pornography. But poneros is evil in effect or influence, as a meaning of the word, are hurtful. Let's go to 1 Peter. My instinct about this, either for persecuted or reviling, you can never appropriate that to yourself. In other words, it's somebody else that will say it. You can't be the one that decides you're being persecuted for righteousness' sake. You understand? What?
That's funny.
Well, I mean, it's true.
Absolutely true.
Okay, 1 Peter. There's a couple places in here that are important. Let's start in verse, chapter 2.
Chapter 2 of what?
Second, the first, chapter 2 of 1 Peter. You know what, we're going to spend some time on this because there's a whole bunch of about it that's important. Verse 6. Wherefore also it is contained in the scripture, "Behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect and precious. He that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Unto you, therefore, which believe, he is precious. But unto them, unto you, therefore, which believe, he is precious. But unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner, and a stone of stumbling, and a rock of offense. Even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto they are also were appointed. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy." Now, I'm sure you remember, we spent many Bible studies about what the word peculiar is. It's the feminine of the verb form, I am. And there's, the translators didn't know what to do with it. So that it was a peculiar word, so they call us peculiar people. That's what, for King James. But can you understand? He is the I am. The bride is the feminine of the word form, of the verb form, I am. And the I am can have no modifiers. You understand what that means? I am can't be rich or poor, healthy or sick, male or female, young or old. This is really big if you can if it apprehends you. You can never again be a victim. Feminine of the verb form, I am. It's one of the most astounding things I ever found in the scripture. You're shaking your head, but you're musing while you're shaking.
Yeah, modifiers are only tools of the mind and brain to categorize and cope. And the I am so far transcends that, I can't comprehend it with my mind. I can only abandon it and see it.
You can't be defined.
Yeah.
You can have no labels on the other side of it. You can't be a Texan or a Norwegian or a Scotsman or a Russian. You're I am. You can't be young or old.
Why is it important that it's the feminine form?
Because that's the bride. Amen? Bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh. My sister, my love. That's why even in a marriage, the man shall leave his family or whatever it says, and the two shall become one flesh. That has nothing to do with sex. Everybody thinks it does. But the two becoming one flesh is two are giving themselves into this new thing. It's a separate thing apart from each one of them. And then giving themselves into that mystery, then a marriage can work. Otherwise, it's constant bickering and unending truces. Amen. Everybody understand that? The wife is supposed to. She's supposed to.
She ought to.
She ought to.
He never.
All right.
You always claims up that.
Verse 11. Dearly beloved, I beseech you, as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul, having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. Submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether it be to the king as supreme, or unto governors as unto them that are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers, and for the praise of them that do well. For so is the will of God, that with well-doing you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men, as free and yet not using your liberty for a cloak of maliciousness, but as servants of God. Honor all men, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. Servants, be subject to your masters, or employees is what it means in our context, with all fear, not only to the good and the gentle, but also to the froward. Everybody know what froward means?
Bastards.
Froward means, it really literally means proud or arrogant.
Here it says that there's a note about harsh.
Headstrong.
Hmm?
No, my Bible has a note about harsh.
Okay. For this is thankworthy, if a man for conscience toward God endure grief, suffering wrongfully. For what glory is it, if when you be buffeted for your faults, you take it patiently? But if when you do well and suffer for it, you take it patiently, this is acceptable with God. That's a big... I love the phrase. For this is thankworthy, if a man for conscience toward God endure grief and suffer wrongfully. For what glory is it if when you be buffeted for your faults, you take it patiently? Amen? For even hereunto were you called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us as an example that you should follow his steps, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, who, when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously, who his own self bare our sin in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sin, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. For you were as sheep going astray, but now return unto the shepherd and bishop of your souls. Now let's go down to verse 13. And who is he that will harm you, if ye be followers of that which is good? But and if you suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are you, and be not afraid of their terror, neither be troubled. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you, with meekness and fear. Having a good conscience, that whereas they speak evil of you as of evildoers, that they may be ashamed that falsely accuse your good conversation or manner of life in Christ. For it is better, if the will of God be that you suffer for well-doing than for evil-doing. For Christ also hath suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit. The whole idea of this, and that's the idea of the Beatitudes, is when you're persecuted for righteousness' sake, and all manner of evil, they revile you, and all manner of evil is said against you falsely, it's like nothing. But you can't define whether it's that's you're not the one that defines whether you're suffering for righteousness' sake or because you're stupid. Because if you define it, then you will automatically be in the bad position. You understand that? Now, I want you to think about this, those of you that are married or were married.
I don't think I do understand that. If you define it, you will be in a bad position.
If you define that you're, if you say to someone, and even internally, that I'm suffering for this for righteousness' sake, then you're not.
Gets back to what I chuckled about earlier. You can't call yourself on that stuff.
Right. Again, if you ever think you're doing something good, you're not. Remember, the predicate of this is you're dead. He lives.
One thing is to judge others bad, another thing is to judge oneself good. Just as crappy.
What are you doing, Gary?
I'm thinking how this works itself out. Everything about your relationship with the world and experiences are there to reveal where it's not that way in you.
Amen.
So that you can recognize it and repent into why this is all happening anyway. Not so that you can get better or you can change conditions or
sue attorneys.
Yeah, get even with people, but to see the revelation of Christ in you, which is all God's interest in.
That's why it says, and that it's stuck in there in the middle of all this. Sanctify the Lord God always in your heart, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you for a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. In the midst of the suffering. Paul and Stephen are the perfect example. Stephen is being stoned. He says, forgive them. Looks up into heaven, and Paul is the one that caused him to be stoned. So the good answer he gave was his life. Without rancor. And that act of Stephen, I believe, is what was the predicate for Paul's conversion, for all of the letters of Paul we owe Stephen an unmeasurable honor. Because without Stephen's response, when he was found guilty and stoned, Paul we don't know that for sure, but that's why we have to think about it. Amen? All right, let's go to,
I'm going to have to confess something here. This thing that happened at the job over there when the newspaper came out and gave this other guy credit for all the construction, I guess I tried to pretend it didn't matter, when actually it really pissed me off, but I didn't entertain that. Tried to sublimate that feeling, and then I thought about Passover and forgiveness and being able to forgive from the heart, and I couldn't find it with this guy because he aggravates me and he's a pushy guy. Now, how am I going to forgive this guy? Well, I just found it in this, that there was something in me that needed to die, that to mask for my own self and anybody else that, that oh, it doesn't matter, oh, it's a bit of, you know. But that was my religious nature, trying to act right or think right or be right in my own flesh. And I couldn't sustain it. And then when I saw this and said what I said, it's like, the only issue is the revelation of Christ. Nothing else exists except for to bring you to repentance. That's me for repentance.
Amen.
So now I can, and I can protect his right to have done what he did.
Yeah, that's, it's, you know, when I heard you say that at dinner last night, I had a quickening, but I didn't say anything to you. So.
Better you didn't. I need to come to this.
You need to get there yourself.
I really did, yeah. And I'm glad now. And I thought, gosh, if I confess this, people will come.
This is a good place now. Let's go to James 1:12, and that'll be, we'll quit here. Remember, the word tempt doesn't mean entice to do evil. And that's what the problem with our word for temptation. Does anybody have a clue what temptation means in the Bible? We've studied it a few times.
Turn yourself to yourself.
Right. The temptation is to ever and ever never come, have whatever happens, put go into you, because that makes you alive. So it's not a temptation to do evil that is concerned. It's a temptation to bring self into the picture, as you've been describing. Okay, so watch. In verse 12, blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. Now what does that mean? It's described in the next verse, but it means that we, because of the fall, we are drawn away in a thousand issues, drawn back into self. That's why the Lord's Prayer is so critical. When it says the word lead us not into temptation, it's let not that happen. It's a little awkward in English, but it means let that not happen. And remember, lead is leading me inward. Don't let anything bring me inward for any reason, no matter the intensity, no matter the anything. But this then is, we can see now why that's so. But every man is tempted or tested when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. You are drawn away of your own ego and enticed. Then when lust, but you didn't let it conceive until this morning. When lust has conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. That's the reason that that happened, so that it bring forth a further death in you. But if I've read every commentary known to man about this scripture, and nothing says it. It's all about avoiding looking at women or something. I'd have no pleasure if I didn't look. Huh? No, I just look. I'd have to confess if I did something about it. One of the greatest gifts to God to man is women from a distance. I'm sorry, where did that come from? Huh?
So that would make it more of a
first time what crown of life means.
Amen.
That is huge, and Gary recognizes that. That really is, because I was down there yesterday, and as I said to a couple people, I know you don't know who Sheryl Crow is, but she's a songwriter, and she has a line in one of her songs, and it says, all the politicians...
Oh, I know who Sheryl Crow is.
Okay. Well,
she was married to...
No, she's not.
To the bicycle guy.
No,
she's not married?
No. They were together for a while. They're not. And
I failed.
She has a line in one of her songs, all the politicians show their asses. Yesterday, all the politicians within a 25-mile radius of that place were down there telling everybody about all the hard work that they put in to make it happen. Gary's down there pounding the nails with his guys and other people like that, but the politicians are all down there. It shows the difference of the worlds, Gary. It really and truly does. And it's about integrity. Because if integrity is what you do when no one's looking, then what you're talking about is integrity. Because you know.
Yeah.
And if God's in you, then God knows and nothing else matters.
Amen.
No, that's why it's so important that you did this morning.
And I was actually thrilled that it happened that way too, because I don't want that shit in me.
That's the worlds. Those are the two worlds.
That's right.
Amen. Everybody understand that? Great object lesson.
Yeah, it is.
Any other comments or thoughts? Blessed is he who endureth temptation for righteousness' sake. Now let me go back to Matthew. I'm just blabbering. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of God. And blessed are you when men shall revile you and persecute you and say all manner of evil falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heavens, for so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. Okay. Now whenever we continue, Monday, I guess. I keep forgetting what day it is. The only way I know what day it is because we bring the trash out. But then I get confused because we used to bring the trash out on Monday, and so we were bringing it. I saw the things out this morning. I thought it was Monday.
You'll say you're on Sunday.
Thank you. Take a big guy quickly before I make an ass of myself further.